Yes. All right. Praise God.
And so here we are on the air once again. Now, as you know, we've been talking about the kingdom of God. And the reason that we're talking about the kingdom of God is I'm expecting the kingdom of God to come. You know? And I want us to be prepared. Jesus told his disciples, every time he told them to go preach, he said, go and teach the kingdom of God. And again, I found a great need in the modern church of America to truly understand what the kingdom of God is and how to present it to a lost and dying world. We know what Jesus said, and I believe Jesus said this, although other translations may say it's not. Scrap the other translations. Jesus told the Pharisees, those who did not believe in him, that the kingdom of God was within them. So everybody that we speak to, that's why Jesus told us to tell the kingdom of God, what it is, how to understand it, even to the lost. Let them know whether they're in the kingdom of God or out of the kingdom of God by what the word of God says. We know that the kingdom of God is this, and it tells us in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, the latter part of that, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So those three aspects of the kingdom of God, those three seeds of the kingdom of God, are available to dwell and to thrive into every human being on the earth. You have the power. I don't want to call it power yet. You have the kinetic energy of the kingdom of God stored within you. Now, our job in teaching the kingdom of God is how to ignite that kingdom in such a way that it starts to grow. That you start to live in righteousness. You start to experience the peace. You start to live inside of the joy in the Holy Ghost. And then a lost and dying world can see that. Well, what perverts that in human beings? Well, as there are three seeds of the kingdom of God within us, there's also the three seeds of the kingdom of this world that is within us. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. What stops the kingdom of God from thriving within every human being is not the power of God preventing it, but the willingness of a human being to surrender to the kingdom of God. Because if we surrender to it, we start, and again, we got to fight the good fight of faith. And again, we know that we know I need to pray. Amen? Because my mind, I got so many things here on the paper, I'm trying to get them out before we go sing caroling. I got to put caroling out of my mind and get into the Word. Amen. Amen. Father God, we love you. We praise you. I pray, Father, over the words that we're about ready to speak, over the Scripture we're about ready to read, Lord, that you would magnify that in our hearts, in our minds, that we might be able to go and teach the kingdom of God. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for that. Father, I say, I ask as I speak that I would completely be erased from the spot, that my voice would no longer be heard, Lord God, but it would be your voice. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would indeed be that group of people that are seeking the kingdom in such a way that our lives show it. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for those things in Christ's name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, is just real quick, and we're talking about preaching the kingdom of God. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sick and every diseased among the people. Every sickness and every disease among the people. Jesus himself, we know about how many cities? All of them. Wherever he went, if he was speaking about the kingdom of God. When he talks about the parables and he goes into these parables, he's always speaking about the kingdom of God. Jesus came to represent the kingdom of God, the kingdom of righteousness on this planet to a lost, dark, unsaved group of individuals. The lost sheep of Israel that should have known what the kingdom of God was because they were the keepers of the oracles of God. They should have known that the righteousness of God, the peace of God, the joy in the Holy Spirit was what the essence of the kingdom of God is really all about. Now, don't get me wrong. There is going to be a kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. That's going to happen. But until that happens, what does the lost and dying world need to see? They need to see Christians, those who are born again, living as if the kingdom of God was already here. Right? We need to be pulling out the kingdom of God, that seed of the kingdom of God that is granted to us through the power of the Holy Ghost in a real personal way, just as Jesus did. What did he do? First, he went to their cities and he went to their churches, their synagogues. He went and he proclaimed to the people who should know what it is to know. Not only to the religious leaders, but he also met the lepers. He also met the prostitutes. He also met the drunkards. He also met those who were least among the kingdom. And he met them where they were. And he proclaimed that you, the righteousness of God, can live within you. And as the righteousness of God is spurred in you, grown in you, then the peace of God will come from that. And as you have the peace of God, you know what you've got? Joy in the Holy Spirit. I cannot, there's a process of that. But in that process, the process is being hindered not because of the lack of power in God or the Holy Ghost, but the unwillingness of Curtis Fitz, put your name in there, not desiring the kingdom enough that I would die to the pride of my life. That I would die to the lust of my flesh. That I would die to the lust of my eyes. See, once I get to that point that I'm willing to die to those things, then all of a sudden the other side starts coming up. Jesus died and gave us a way where there was no way before. All right? Before Jesus, we did not have the empowering, dwelling Spirit of God living in us, guiding us into all truth. Until the resurrection, until Jesus sent the Holy Spirit and started indwelling in the hearts and the minds of the believers in a real personal way. This kingdom is real and personal. It changes you from the inside out, and it grants you power that you would not ordinarily have. To have these three characteristics opened up on the onset, or actually when these three characteristics of righteousness, peace, and the Holy Spirit are made available, which is found in Romans 14 and 17, chapter 14 and verse 17. That's where you find that, where he says that the Holy Ghost is these things, or the kingdom is these things. Excuse me for that. Now, these three characteristics, they are open to the believer at the onset when our will is surrendered to his will, when we no longer hold on to those the seed of unrighteousness that was put into us. Wait, if you say, when were these things, or you might ask, when were these things put into you? Long, long time ago. Long, long time. It was back in the Garden of Eden. And I'm in Genesis right now in my Bible, in Genesis chapter 3. And this is the first time that I see this in Scripture, these three attributes being used against the human race. All right? All right, so we're in chapter 3, verse 1. This is called the fall of man. Now the serpent, verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. All right, there's the start. There's the start. Yea, hath God said. All right, yea, hath God said. Ye shall not eat of every tree. Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, now look at what she said, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Is that what God said? She must have had a faulty translation of the Word of God. She may have been reading the New King James or the NIV or the ESV or some other translation of the Word of God. Actually,
I don't know this for sure, but I do know that God didn't speak to Eve. He spoke to Adam. And he told Adam, don't eat of the fruit of that tree, lest you die. All right? That's what he told Adam. If Adam, being a good husband, would have told his wife, well, honey, we can eat anything out here except that tree. In fact, sweetheart, I would say, don't even touch it. All right? Now, in that, my imagination, this ain't scripture, she somehow got that messed up in her head and said, thus saith God. Lucifer knew that that isn't what God said. The serpent knew that isn't what God said. He was there when the commandment was given out. He knew that isn't what he said. And so in verse 6, for God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall know, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, all right, and that it was pleasant to the eye, that the tree was desired to make one wise. Do you see lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life there? This is where it came from. This is the same trap that Lucifer has used ever since the beginning of time. When when Lucifer met Jesus in the wilderness after his baptism, did he not use this same trick on him? Right?
Yeah.
He used the same thing. When we are practicing or preparing for the kingdom of God and fighting the battle of our flesh against the spirit, what are the three things that Satan still uses today? The very same three, right? The very same three. Folks, he's not that smart. The problem is we are that ignorant. And we're not ignorant of his devices. We're ignorant of the power of the word of God, the power of the kingdom that is within us, that we have the power to defeat these things, but we got to fight it and take it by force. Do you understand that? That this fight is not an easy fight. You've got to determine in your heart and in your mind that you want the righteousness of God. I'm willing to die for the righteousness of God. I'm willing to crucify my flesh that he might live through me for the righteousness of God. I want the peace of God. Not just peace with God through salvation, but the peace of God as an individual that lives in a righteous, holy state as much as I can. All right, and I had to add that as much as I can because I don't know if you know it, but I'm a sinner. Because of Adam, I have a flesh, and this flesh continually leads me away from the cradle of the love of God and to the lust of my eyes and to the pride of my own life and to the lust of my own flesh. He continually draws me out and brings me back into that septic tank, although I was released to the righteousness and the peace of the joy of God in the Holy Spirit. So what's the problem here? You better say you.
That's right.
You're the problem.
Amen.
Jesus ain't the problem. Satan ain't a fool. All right? You, Church of Jesus Christ, you, the one who proclaims Jesus as your Lord, it's your fault that you ain't living that way. Because when Jesus paid it all, how much did he pay? Thank you. All of it. All of it on the cross. He paid it all. And he said, I'm coming again and I'm going to check you out. And I want you. God's desire is that he wants righteousness to live in us. The biggest problem with the church today is we really haven't entered into the fight. You know what we did enter it in? I'm going to embarrass myself a little bit and I'm going to walk out in front of people and I'm going to say a prayer because the preacher told me to pray after me and you'll be saved. Right, and so you get up at the end of a service, and he says, "Everybody who believes, you felt the Spirit." And I'm sorry, I'm not. I don't want to make less of this than what it is, because that is the beginning of salvation. Amen. You've got to come to the end of yourself, and you've got to understand God's right and you're wrong. And there's nothing wrong with a pastor saying, if the Spirit of God is moving on you, confess your sin before him, repent of your sin, and you shall be saved. Well, Peter adds on to that, and show the works of repentance. Right. often in an altar call, that part's left out.
Right.
All right? Showing the works of repentance. That means if I'm really repentant, I am fighting against the very nature of Curtis Fitz, of all humanity, ever since Adam. I'm fighting against the lust of my eyes. I have got to fight that. Jesus already has victory, right? But I've got to fight it. Amen? The pride of my life, I've got to fight that tooth and nail if I'm going to have victory over it. Now, Jesus already had victory over it. I haven't.
I think it's Hebrews chapter 4. I don't have this in my notes, but I think I read it this week. I don't know why I didn't put it in here. Because I could act like I'm a theologian. Theologian, and that's so funny of me. I'm not. Hebrews chapter 4, I got it marked down in my Bible. So it's verse 14. Talking about this fight of the temptation of the flesh. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. There's a lot being said right there about the kingdom of God, about the kingdom of my world, my flesh. All right, I cannot fight these things on my own. I need a general. I need a leader. I need somebody. Right? And now I don't have a God who has not been tempted like I have. I have a God that has been tempted in every way just like I have. That means he was tempted with the lust of the flesh. All right? But he didn't sin. He was tempted with the pride of life, but he didn't sin. He was tempted by the lust of the eye, but he didn't sin. He didn't fall into the same category as I have, because I don't know about you guys, I have failed in every single one of them, decorated in 1,000 different wrappers. Right? But when he was tempted, where's that temptation of Christ? Matthew 4, I think. Yeah. So just going over that, we need to look at some things that Jesus went through. 5:4. Yeah, because it's before the Beatitudes. 7:0. Chapter 4 and verse 1. Then Jesus, he was lifted up by the Spirit into the wilderness. All right, this is after he was baptized. So it's 4:1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit unto the wilderness, being tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungered. Okay, that should be said enough, right? But understand, when Satan comes to tempt you with the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, it's when you're weak.
That's right.
Jesus was weak. He had fasted for 40 days. His flesh was weak. I mean, I don't know how many folks here have fasted anywhere near that long. I mean, there may have been a couple of you know. I fasted up to a week, all right? And I'm not saying that to blow smoke up my tailpipe, just as a matter of fact. And I'll tell you, at the end of that week, I was hungered, all right? I was weary. I was tired. I was stronger in the spirit, but boy, I could not push a marble across the floor. I mean, and now Jesus did this for 40 days. He was absolutely, his body, his flesh had been totally wore out. And then when the tempter came unto him, saying, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. What's that? It's the lust of, come on, flesh. Right, right. If you're hungry, eat. Here, have a rock sandwich. Right? And but Jesus fought back. He said, but he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. All right, then after that, the devil taketh him to the holy city and setteth him upon the temple, upon the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge
concerning thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. What temptation is that?
Pride of life.
Pride of life. Amen. Yeah. Yep. So the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. These are the same things. All right. Jesus said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again, the devil taketh him to an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. Whose kingdoms are they?
His.
All right. These are the kingdoms of the world. And Lucifer offers them to Jesus if he would just bow down to him. You cannot give somebody something that don't belong to you. So we're wrestling two kingdoms. There's the kingdom inside of us that's controlled by those three powers, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. And then there's the kingdom of God, which is of righteousness, peace, and the joy in the Holy Ghost. All right. So in this, and he brought him up to high, I lost my place, 8. And again, the devil taketh him to a exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. All right, again, there it is, right? It's all about what he has to give. And if you would just worship him, he'll give you that. Those folks who have the most of this world have, I'm not saying this as a blanket statement, all right? Those who have the most of the riches of this world normally have the least of Jesus Christ, all right? And now there's nothing wrong with being wealthy, but what you do with that wealth. In fact, Jesus said it's easier for a camel to enter into the eye of a needle, and we could get into the architecture of all that kind of stuff, but I'd still put it into the eye of a sewing needle. You know, personally, because I think it's hard as a camel going through the eye of a needle of any kind than for a rich man to get into heaven. Why? Because of this temptation here. All right? The lust of the eyes, the pride of life. If you would fall down and worship me, and Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. All right? How did Jesus defeat Lucifer on all three accounts? The word. How did Eve mess up? Misquoting the word. By telling a word that really wasn't the word, adding to the word of God. So those three temptations of every human being, flesh, eye, and pride of life, those three things came from Eve not having the right translation of the word of God. And Satan has used that throughout history, ever since then until now. And I'm not kicking that hard because of that. I'm kicking that because a lot of people are going to miss the kingdom of God because of what they believe God is or what they believe the kingdom is. Again, in Matthew 11, verse 12, in the first part of that, of the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Are you willing to fight for this kingdom? All right. Are you willing to fight for it? Now, I don't have to fight the homosexual rights. I don't have to fight the school boards. I don't have to fight the governments or the kingdoms of this world. You know what I got to fight? Me. I got to fight me. I've got to fight my lust, my pride, myself. I've got to consider myself dead that I might gain the kingdom.
Yep. Seeker.
This is amen. I got to be a seeker. I got to be a believer of God's word. Thus saith the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong, that doesn't mean that we agree with all those things, and we will get into Romans. In fact, I was just going to say Romans 6, right? Because how should we continue in sin, all right? But you can't do 6 without chapter 5. Well, you can't do chapter 5 without chapter 4, right? And we can go all the way back, but if you do 6, you might as well, or if you do 4, you might as well do 5, and if you're going to do 5, do 6, and if you're going to do 6, do 7. We ain't got the time today. But I would challenge you to go home and think about the kingdom of God and read the first part of Romans and see how that works out.
Should we sin all the more that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. I need to kill sin. I need to fight sin. I need to fight the lust of my eyes and the pride of my life vigorously. But the church has been sold a false bill of health that says that you're okay. That says that you, no matter what Bible you use, you'll get to heaven if you say these magic words. Abracadabra, I want to reach out and slap you. Stab you, whatever it is. The gospel never says. I got one guy who remembers the song. And so,
grab ya.
I want to reach out and slap you. Anyhow, we must fight. We must enter into the fight for the kingdom of God. We need the kingdom of God to arise in our hearts and our minds and our souls, and understand that our weapons are not carnal, right? Again, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6. And it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and everything, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, we got to grab a hold of this if we're going to get a hold in this fight. People, I need you in the fight. All right? I need you to hold me accountable that I am in the fight. There are strongholds that need to be pulled down, not out there, but right here. Amen? Now, again, this kingdom of God is already within you because Jesus said that it was. Regardless of what the more modern translations say. And if you didn't hear that or see that on the internet, I stuck my finger towards my throat and made a regurgitating sound. That goes with the modern translations of the Bible. That's what it is. It's regurgitation.
Amen.
It's not food. It's not meat. It's not nourishment. We got to get back to the right understanding of God and who He is. Though we walk in the flesh, amen? Who here's walking in the flesh? Amen? Oh, only me?
Yeah.
Just me. Just you, Pastor. We're fine. I don't know where you're getting this stuff from. We don't war after the flesh. See, if I was warring after the flesh, I would fight hard against the homosexual rights. I would worry about the law that the president just signed in about the whole equal rights marriage thing.
Right.
But that's not my battle. My battle is much deeper than that. My imagination is what the Word of God says here. For our weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through the pulling down of the strongholds, casting down imagination. What do I need to cast down? Imagination. What do you cast down imagination with? Truth. Do you know that? What cast down imagination? Truth. Is there a booger man under your bed? No, there ain't, honey. Unless you picked it off and wiped it there yourself. There are no booger men. I'm sorry, I got her laughing so hard she's turned red. The truth is, look under your bed. There's nothing there but maybe some dust bunnies, right? But there is no spiritual booger man under your bed. There is no ghost in your closet. It's an imagination. There is no fat guy driving 8 reindeers, parking on your house and shoving gifts down your chimney. That's an imagination. It's a story. Once upon a time, there's a puppeteer, all right? And then the puppet became human and grew a big nose.
Designed to change the focus.
Designed to change the focus. We need to pull down the imaginations. The imaginations that the pride of my life will make me earn the righteousness of God. The lust of my flesh will really satisfy me. Who here has tried that? Chase the lust of your flesh? Amen? Were you satisfied? Not at all. Not at all. In fact, the more you chase it, the more you want it, the less you got it. That's an imagination. It's not real. We need to pull down, cast down the imaginations, pull down those strongholds. That's a fight that you got to be. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Take down everything that exalts itself above God. Anything that says that there's something better than Jesus Christ. And you may say, well, I don't have Jesus Christ. Do you have a King James Bible? If you do, you got as much Jesus as you need in this earth. Right? And I say King James Bible on purpose. All right? Because there's a lot of books out there that say Holy Bible that ain't. And I'm not going to get into the history and all that kind of stuff. I do not have the time for it today. But I will. There will come a time that we're going to break that down and we're going to go through that as a study about why the King James Bible is the only real Bible in the world. In the world. We're going to, the world is the only real one. And we'll get into that if Lord provides. But I need to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. Not my own lust desires, but the obedience of Jesus Christ. What Jesus says, that settles it. It doesn't matter if you believe it. It only matters if you obey it. Well, you won't obey it if you don't believe it. But if you really believe it, you will obey it. I've often used the traffic sign, right? We know that when the traffic sign says 30 miles an hour, that's the law. But if you blow by that thing at 35, did you really believe it? I used a small speed. Normally I go by 30 mile an hour speed limits for around 60. Because that's just the way I am. Do you really believe it? If you really believed it, you would obey it. No fishing. No trespassing. If you really believed it, you wouldn't fish, you wouldn't trespass there. But if you don't believe it, do what you want to. Until the day of judgment comes. And you find out you may be saying, Lord, Lord. And Jesus says, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the... Starts with king, ends in dumb. All right? Kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God. Not everybody who says that. But he that doeth the will of the Father. Obedience. So what is the will of the Father? And how do I do it? Well, I learned that through the understanding of God's word, casting down my imagination of what I think it says to what it actually says. Getting the imaginations taken away by the proof of the word of God. Amen? Because that's what we need. We need God's word unperverted, undiluted, full strength, 200%, where it burns. Amen? Where it burns. And I like that because John the Baptizer said that there is one coming that the last latch of the shoes he could not loose. But he's going to baptize, well, I baptize with water, and there's one coming who will baptize you with fire and the Holy Ghost. Burning in the Holy Ghost. Amen? I want that baptism. I want that baptism alive in the church of Jesus Christ so bad. But I can't set the fire for you. You got to want it bad enough. You got to fight the fight. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. Paul writing to Timothy says, thou, O man of God, flee these things. Now, turn over there, all right? Because I want you to make sure you get there. In fact, I'll go with you. Nothing better than the sound of the rustling of the paper. You know, so the beeping of the entire net. 1 Timothy 6, starting in verse 11. But thou, O man of God, I'm not changing this. I want to put Hugh in front of it. Hugh, man of God. Because it doesn't just mean males. All right, it means anybody who proclaims Jesus Christ as their Savior. All right, thou, O human of God, man of God. And Lord, I ask your forgiveness. Even as I said that, that's not what the Word of God says. I shouldn't put Hugh in there.
If you don't know what man means, look it up. It's mankind, right? That's what he's talking about. He's not just talking about men, all right? Because you women, you're as held as responsible to this as any man is. Amen. So anyhow, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after what? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So what did Paul just tell the person of Christ? All right, he's talking to Timothy, but I'm pretty sure that he's talking to me too. Okay? I need to flee some things. Flee these things. So what things? Now you back up a little bit. For the love of money, verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The lust of the flesh. Right, the pride of life, that lust, that love of money, that's what spurs those things on. If I want to be, before that says verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into a temptation, a snare, and unto many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Wow. So I'm supposed to put off some things, all right? And the further back I'm reading, the more I see that needs to be read. I'm reading my scripture backwards, and it's more important the further back I go, the more important it is. Instead of just reading the point of what he's saying about fighting the good fight, well, we got to find out what he's fighting against. Verse 3, I love this. If any man teach you otherwise, consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine which is according to godliness. He's proud and knowing nothing but doubting about questioning and strife of words. Wherefore cometh envy and strife and railings and evil surmising. Thank you. perverse. Thank you. Disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Okay, what am I supposed to get out of my life? I from what I see is several things here. Anybody who is changing the content of the wholesome words of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? If you're changing what the Bible says, get away from that. Get away from the other translations of the word. Get away from the doctrines of men. Or actually, it's the doctrines of devils and the teaching of men. Get away from that stuff. How do you know what's real? If it ain't in the Bible, it ain't real. King James Bible. If it ain't in there, it ain't real. Don't be sucked into it. Don't get into that stuff. Listening to doctrines which is according to godliness. He's proud, okay, knowing nothing. I love these high educated people. They know a lot of stuff, but they know nothing. Stop following those people. Wherefore cometh, I need to fight this in my life, envy and strife and railings and evil surmising thoughts, perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, and destitute of truth, of the truth. I need to get that out of my life. If I want the kingdom of God really to rise up in me in righteousness and truth and holiness and godliness, that's the fight I gotta fight. The more I'm looking into the kingdom of God, the more I realize that I've been training in the wrong gym. If you want to be a prize fighter, you go to a coach who can teach you how to be a prize fighter. You don't want to be kung fu guy or whatever. You go to the dojo, right? Oh, grasshopper, you want to have a stone, a pebble? You take a pebble off my hand. Kung fu, right? Remember that? David Carradine, kung fu way back in the 70s.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why he didn't step on his toe and take the pebble. Anyhow, if you want wax on, wax off, right? If you really want to learn how to do these things, you've got to practice them in the right session. You're right over here, your husband, your son, he called me and he's wanting help. And I said, I can teach you how to fight the good fight of faith, but I can't teach it while you're on your couch.
That's right.
You've got to be here.
That's right.
You've got to hear the word of God.
That's
faith
right.
Cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
That is
you
right.
Need these things. I can't help you
if
over there.
Exactly. You can't help him if he's not here, for goodness sake. God's over here.
I love you.
That's an amen.
That's an amen.
That's an amen.
That's an amen.
Yeah.
And it's a real life thing.
Right?
It's a real life thing. Many people say that they're fighting the fight while I'm reading my Bible and I'm praying. That does nothing without a right relationship with God, without desiring righteousness, without desiring holiness, without training your life that you can be holy. That you do have power over these things. Not power in yourself, but power through Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Because in me, I cannot do nothing. I cannot do nothing. That means I can do everything through Christ Jesus. As I'm speaking to you, I'm learning American at the same time. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. All right? Flee these things. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, kindness. Fight the good fight of faith. And lay hold on eternal life. That is the kingdom. I got to lay hold on that. I got to fight for that. I got to struggle with that. I got to make that real in my life. And Joshua, as much as I love you, you can't do that for me. I cannot take the righteousness, the relationship that you have with God and put it on me and think I'm going to get there. Well, I followed Tom. You know, he was teaching Sunday school. I followed him. Well, you can follow Tom straight to hell. Not that you're going there, brother. But right, if you're following a man, if you're following, what's that guy we like so much?
MacArthur.
Or what's the other guy?
Hoggard.
Well, those are the ones you really like.
What did Jesus say?
What did Jesus say? Not only what he said, what did he do?
Follow me.
There you go. Why? Because he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life, and nobody goes into the kingdom, nobody goes to the Father, but by or through him. Right? That's the only way you're getting there.
That's right.
You know, I love you so much. Praise God. I'm going to give her a dollar. It was a quarter, but you just got a raise.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
No, I pray that these things are sinking in, that Before I start teaching the kingdom is like unto, I want us to have a grip of what the kingdom is. Because then he uses a lot of different like unto's. It's like unto this, it's like unto that. But what it really is righteousness. What it really is truth. What it really is faith. What it really is love. What it really is dying to me. That's where the fight is. Now, don't get me wrong. We should not agree with those people who do those ungodly things. Amen?
Amen.
But we can't change them until we get squared away.
Right.
I can't fix, the church cannot fix the ungodliness until the church gets the ungodliness out of them. The church in America is an abomination before God. Mm-hmm. All right? And I see that. Because the Word of God tells me what an abomination is. And when I look at what the 90% of most teachers, modern teachers, are not teaching the kingdom. They're not teaching holiness. They're not teaching righteousness. They're teaching name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. That's what they're teaching. Confess it and don't worry. Well, actually, I'm saying live it and worry. And I worry. I've got to fight the good. You know what happens when you quit fighting, when a boxer is in the ring and he all of a sudden just lets his hands down and says, I ain't going to fight no more? The other guy knocks his block off. Rock 'em, sock 'em, robots. Right? And his hand goes. Right? That's what happens. When the church quits fighting for righteousness, when the church quits fighting for faith, when the church quits believing and obeying the word of God, we have lost, we're knocked out cold in the ring, and we have forfeited the kingdom of God that we were promised, because not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom. There's a lot of people that call themselves Christians, and they may have prayed the prayer, they may have said what they were told to say, they may read their Bible, but they don't obey the word of God. I fear for those people, because I love some of those people. And they're being led astray, just as Eve was. And Satan said, "Did God truly say? Did God truly say?" Well, the NIV takes out 1,200 plus scriptures. Words. Right, snatched them right out of the Bible. So if you're reading the King James and they're studying the New King James, they'll say, "My Bible doesn't say that. So did God really say it?" The seed of doubt is cast. And when the seed of doubt is cast, that's what brings all kinds of perversions. That's what makes you think that a female lesbian or a homosexual man or woman can be a pastor of a church or a teacher of Bible study. I'm not saying that they can't come here and learn, because praise God, I love this body, this building right here, to be filled with homosexuals. I really do. Yeah. That they can hear the truth of God's word and strike a fear, a chord in them. Yeah. Like that man came today. He said, "I profess Jesus Christ." And I said, "I'm looking at a dead man. You are dead before God." Why? Because there's a truth to that. And I pray that it shook him. I'm praying, "God, I feel just as I'm tingly. I can't tell if y'all tell it. I'm tingly right now. I pray that the Holy Spirit right at this moment are shaking that man to his very core of existence."
God's love.
Amen. By the love and the grace and the power and the righteousness and the peace and the joy in the Holy Spirit would overwhelm them. That they would learn to fight the good fight of faith. That the kingdom of God would come alive. Take up your cross and follow me. We must learn how to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus, the very word of God. Galatians 5:16 through 26. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, Revelation 1 through 21, 22. All, read them, glean from them, put them in your heart, put them as a lifestyle, that the kingdom of God might become alive in you. All right, I really, next time we meet, it'll be Christmas.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So this is Christmas. So maybe by the first of the year, I can start teaching about the kingdom of God is like unto. Because those are very meaty and powerful things. Again, we've got to get through this battle. Because I cannot fight, Wendy, I can't fight this fight for you, honey. You've got to fight it for yourself, right? Bonnie, my wife, my children, I can't fight this for them. I can pray that they would enter into the fight. Ben, I can't fight this fight for him. He's got to fight it for himself. You can't fight this fight for me. But you know what we can do? I can come along the side, just right here, and I can stand by his side, and we can form a wall.
And don't forsake.
And we will not forsake the assembly, because this is where the power is. This is where the love is. I can come along beside Joshua. I say, "Joshua, I'm struggling here, and you know what he's going to do? He's going to pray for me." I can come, Tom. I don't know where he lives, so I can't come to his house. But I think that's on purpose.
Look for the horse.
Look for the horse. There's a horse right here. Maybe a pole right here. Anyhow, But I can come to him or Kevin or Kevin. K1 and K2. I can come before them, right? And I can confess that I'm struggling with this, and they'll come along beside me, and we'll pray together. Brother Yaw, Doug, I can come, John, I can come before these men and before God and say, listen, I need this, I need you. And they will pray for me and with me, and these men know the Word of God, and they'll open up the toolbox, and they'll say, this is the armor of God, let's put it on together. And the kingdom of God starts to rise up in the individual. And as it rises into the individual, then the kingdom of God is stronger in me, which makes it stronger in you. Paul, it makes it stronger in you. Lance, get on board. No, Lance, it makes it stronger in Lance. Right? It makes it stronger in each and every one of us as the kingdom of God starts to rise in each of us. And it becomes more than what it is as an individual. That's why you forsake not the assembly of each other. That's why you make sure you read the Word of God, the whole Word of God, and only the Word of God. It's time to get rid of our commentaries. You want a commentary? Read the Bible. Give you all the comments on it you need. I don't need to know what Professor or Dr. Seuss has to say about a certain thing. What I need is the love of this man in my life, the love of that man in my life. The love of that lady, that child of God. I need her power, the Spirit of God that lives within her, the Spirit of God that lives within you, Bonnie. I need that in my life. Wendy, Jim, I need his presence right here in my life. I need you. Because this is the kingdom of God dwelling amongst us in the body of Christ. And we need to know this in such a way that we can go to the lost sheep of Rochester. Don't go to Israel, you're not a Hebrew. Go to the lost villages around you. Go to your neighbor and explain to them the power of the kingdom of God that lives in you. Live a righteous and holy life, living in the peace of God, enjoying the blessings of the joy in the Holy Spirit. But if I don't desire righteousness first, you know what I don't have? Peace of God. No, I have peace with God because I surrendered my life to Him. But if I struggle against God to do my own will, I lose the peace of God. He withholds His peace from me as a chastening rod to draw me back to Him. And if I don't have the peace of God, I can't have the joy in the Holy Spirit. And that all hinges on righteousness. You must have the righteousness of God, and you must desire it and fight for it. I've got to fight for it. I've got to fight against my lust. You've got to fight against your lust. You've got to do it. The pride, you've got to fight against that. You've got to fight against the pride of your own heart. Church, do not be deceived that whatsoever a man sows, he shall also reap. God is not mocked. Fear Him. Fear God. We've had people right here in these pews that said, pews, comfortable seats, that say straight up, I don't fear God. Jesus is my friend. Well, Jesus said, fear Him. Right? Amen? Jesus said, fear Him. I'll finish this later. Because I love you. We could talk on this all day. And it doesn't matter how many words I say. If you don't do it, I've just wasted an hour of your life. You've got to do it. You've got to want it. You've got to desire it. Me doing it for you ain't going to help you. I love you. And I don't want any of us to come short of the glory of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are grateful, Lord Jesus, for your love, your grace, your goodness. We're grateful, Father, for the indwelling Spirit of the Most High God, that you have called us out of darkness into your glorious light. Father, I pray that we will truly embrace the authority of being born again, that we might see the kingdom of God. Let it dwell in us richly. Let your righteousness, your holiness, your compassion flow out of us. Lord, let us thank you, God, for this, that we would be indeed that city built on a hill that should not or cannot be hid. But oh, that we would let the light shine out, that men would, the light of the kingdom, the glory of the kingdom shine out, that men would see our good works, our righteousness, and they would glorify our Father who is in heaven. Lord, we ask that. We ask it in our families. We ask it in ourselves, Lord Jesus. Help us to bear our cross that we might experience the life through the death of ourselves. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.